Welcome to OTP7. I'm Mike Keith with Amy Wells. Glad to have you back for another week. Amy, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Good to be here.
Looking forward to this program because of the guest that you had, and we'll talk about that in just a second. We've got a couple things we want to cover to begin this edition of the podcast. First of all, just general thank yous. Thank you to you for taking the time to listen and subscribe. We appreciate you. Thank you to Amy Adams Strunk for the podcast last week and for your response to her. We've gotten amazing feedback on that, and it was so much fun to have the controlling owner on the show.
Oh, gosh, it was a blast, and the stories that she was able to tell, if you haven't heard it, check it out, because it was enlightening and entertaining.
Yeah, she was a lot of fun. Also, a thank you to you for going to TitansOnline.com and visiting our draft section and watching the player preview videos that we've been doing, sponsored by Snickers.
Uh-huh.
It's a great sponsor, by the way.
Oh, my gosh.
Certainly one we can endorse.
A lot of Snickers jokes have been rolling around here now.
But,
yeah,
I mean, Snickers satisfies.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So we're thankful for that. But if you haven't watched the videos, there are 50 guys, and we're posting two a day through April the 25th. At this point, I guess we have about half of them up. And there are a lot of names that we think you will find interesting. If you got a minute 10, a minute 15, you'll enjoy watching those videos, finding out a little bit about these players, and you'll be ahead of your friends.
Absolutely.
You'll be more prepared for the draft than people who don't go to TitansOnline.com and visit the draft section.
And isn't that the ultimate goal, having more knowledge than the people close to you?
Exactly, mm-hmm. 100%. So all of those thank yous out of the way. Want to step in here, too, and say a thank you and wish condolences at the same time to Joe McConnell, who passed away at the age of 79 in the last week. Joe McConnell was the first voice in the history of the NFL franchise in Tennessee. He was the voice of the Tennessee Oilers in 1997 and 1998. He was a legendary NFL voice, in large part from his days with the Chicago Bears calling Walter Payton. When Walter Payton broke Jim Brown's all-time rushing record, Joe McConnell is the man who had the call. He called the NBA. He called Major League Baseball. He also was the voice of his beloved Purdue Boilermakers. And that was how he ended up here, because Mike McClure, the man who, in large part, spearheaded the move of this franchise from Houston to Nashville, was a huge Purdue fan. And so he knew Joe McConnell well. And he brought Joe McConnell here to do the games. And Joe lived in Indianapolis, or right around Indianapolis, did not want to move here full-time because he was still doing Purdue. His wife had a good job, and that's why you ended up with me, because he did not want to move here full-time. But he did the 2 years, and the first year he worked with Jeff Van Note, the former Falcons great, who did a really nice job. And then the second year, I was his color commentator, and he was incredibly kind to me, taught me a lot, and genuinely took a lot of interest in what I was doing as a young broadcaster and didn't have to. And I will always be appreciative to him. The driving force behind Titans Radio, the number one force, will always be Larry Stone. He will be at the top of that list forever. But Joe McConnell is certainly on that list because of what he gave us and what he taught us in those 2 years. So for those of you who never heard him, I wanted to give you a chance to hear his greatest Oilers call from the very end of a game at Tampa Bay, Sunday Night Football, November 8th, 1998, the Tennessee Oilers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Here is Joe McConnell.
Play action. Oh, he's got to hurry. And McNair gets away. He's at the 35. He's at the 40. The 45. The 50. The 45. He may go. He's going to score a touchdown. He's at the 15. The 10. The 5. Touchdown. McNair. Oh, my goodness. They blitzed. And he broke away from a tackler who was all over him. 71 yards for the clincher. And the air just went out of this announcer and the Ray J.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Couple other things. Benny Logan signs with the Titans.
Sure does.
Got a run stuffer on the inside.
I'm excited.
Not a cheap player, a player who was wanted in different places. And so the Titans put up the money to get this guy who has been a stuffer, whether he was in Philly or in Kansas City, helps the defensive line. And I think most importantly, means that you don't automatically have to draft a defensive lineman early because you've taken care of some depth needs. You can, and maybe they will, but in the John Robinson theme of not wanting to put himself in a position where he has to do something, Benny Logan helps to solve that issue.
Right, gives him a chance to breathe a little bit and flesh out what he wants to do. There are a lot of different directions that he can go now in the draft because it's another piece of the puzzle that's filled. He's not plugging holes anymore.
Michael Campagnaro signs from Baltimore. He's a wide receiver originally out of Wake Forest. I remember his numbers at the Combine were excellent 4 years ago. He ran a 4.46, did 20 on the bench, 39-inch vertical, good athlete, had a couple injury problems, but it's coming off his best season with the Ravens. He kind of takes the Eric Weems role a little bit, a younger, faster version of that. And I think the other thing, too, Amy, with his ability to handle kick and punt returns, especially punt returns, what we may be seeing is while Adoree Jackson is good at both, maybe he will just do one or the other now because he's such a valuable participant in what the Titans need him to do, and that's play corner.
It's funny you say that because that was my first thought when we signed Campagnaro was, oh, this might take some pressure off of Dory. I mean, shoot, there were games where we had him playing offense, defense, and special teams.
Right.
At some point, he's going to slow down. Not in a bad way, but he needs a break. He's only one guy.
That's right.
So kind of taking that pressure off of him, still having him in the rotation perhaps, but not being his entire responsibility has got to be helpful.
Preseason schedule came out.
Woohoo!
All right, so what jumps out to you about the preseason schedule?
I am very excited, and this is very personal, but I'm really excited to go to Lambeau Field. I've never been before.
It's a great time to go to Lambeau Field in August because we will get out of the heat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful. And all the Packer fans, being that that's the first game, they will all be there in force.
Yes, I'm very excited to be going there not in the winter and seeing a historic field.
I'll take you to get a Butterburger.
I'm in.
They're awesome.
They're
fantastic. Everybody talks about the brats. The Butterburgers are, and the cheese curds.
I'm into both of those things.
Fantastic. Okay, so that's the first preseason game. What I'm most excited about is that the Titans drew Pittsburgh in week three. And here's why. You're playing a Super Bowl contender, a legitimate Super Bowl contender, in the preseason game that they will most look like the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
So if that's your warm-up, which it is, then you're going to be taking on a team who's not only going to take it seriously, but they're a good team.
It'll be a good measuring stick for where this team really is, how they measure up. Obviously, still a preseason game, but there's a little more of a comparison there.
And now we're about ready to get the schedule.
Yes.
Seems like it's just a few days away now.
Oh, my gosh. We're hoping it's at any time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to come out eventually. They can't keep it from us forever.
As we record this, we don't know the specifics, but there has been a lot of speculation it's going to be at some point next week.
I would be tickled if that happens.
Can't
I'm ready
wait.
To know.
I love schedule day.
Me too.
Okay. But the main part of this edition of the OTP is yours. Yours and Taylor Lewand.
It's not really mine. It's Taylor Lewand's.
All right, so Taylor
podcast.
Lewand agreed to do the OTP after he was called out last week by the owner.
Yeah.
Not really, but we made him feel that way.
Yeah, absolutely, which I have no shame in doing, whatever it takes.
We did a radio show with Taylor Lewand in 2015 that was as much fun as anything I have ever done in broadcasting.
Fun in a scary kind of way?
No, it was fun.
Fun in an actual way.
Well, it was
way.
Fun because we legitimately from week to week did not know who he was going to bring. We didn't know what they were going to want to talk about. He called my kids out of the audience. Anything you could imagine that could happen almost happened during that period of time.
Yes.
Coach Malarkey was not really excited about that.
True.
So the show ended. He always said, however, that he would come back and do a podcast with us. And so he agreed to do it. He was very excited that we ended up with a podcast. And he agreed to do it on Wednesday of this week when I was out of town doing some baseball, which was fun. But I was very sorry that I missed this opportunity. So you got the chance to talk with Taylor Lewan. Give me the Cliff Note version of what all we're going to hear in the next several minutes.
I brought a list of all the topics we talked about. It's 2 pages.
Okay, give
so
me,
I'm going to give you a summary. We talk about pranks. We talk about his fiance. We talk about his child. We talk about the Masters. We give the origin story for Steve the Beaver.
His locker room.
The Beaver friend.
In the locker room. Right.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
It's very creepy, but the story's pretty good. We talk about Nashville. We get in a very heated debate between Batman and Superman. It was as crazy as I thought it was going to be, and then some.
Titan fans love Taylor Lewan because they feel like they know him due to the fact that he totally puts himself out there. This is who he really is. He might be the most colorful personality to play for this franchise in 20 years. He's certainly top five, and it is no act.
Oh, no. No, no, no. It was talking to him is hilarious because it can happen. It goes on forever, and it's just a stream of consciousness.
It is.
It's whatever is in his brain is coming out, and we're going to talk about it.
And what's important to know, too, is for all of the teasing and whatever goes on, we like him very much.
Oh.
I'm a huge Taylor Lewan fan personally and as a player. There was all the talk about Laramie Tunsil being drafted to take his place a couple years back, I repeatedly told anybody who would listen, this is a better player, and he's going to be a Pro Bowler because I really believed in what I saw out of him. When you separate the football player from the person, he's an outstanding football player. He follows in the Titans' left tackle tradition, which is Brad Hopkins, Michael Ruse, and now him. It's been the best position for this franchise in terms of how it's been played in the 20 years that we've been here. And he's really super there. But he is a really good person, a nice guy, all over the road. And I think that's what you're saying we're going to hear.
Oh, yes, that's absolutely what you're going to hear. And, I mean, that's just a Cliff Notes version of all the things we talk about. There's more in there that you're going to hear.
Well, let's not make them wait.
No, it's... Buckle up, guys.
Buckle up.
That's all I have to say.
The OTP, Amy Wells and two-time Pro Bowl left tackle Taylor Lewan coming at you.
This is Taylor Lewan with Titans Amy on Official Titans Podcast. I'm sitting here with Titans Amy, the host, who should be doing this part. But we've been mumbling and talking for the last 15 minutes, so this is a halfway start into the whole thing. Let's get going. What do you have on the list there, Titans Amy?
I appreciate that, Taylor. That was a good intro. You should do this every week. In all seriousness, it is really good to have you guys back in the building, have you here. But this is the first time you're coming into the building with Steve Watterson not being here. Mm. Is that strange for you? Is that jarring at all?
Yeah, I'd say it is. I mean, obviously it is. The guy's been around for so many years, and he's done such a great job for this franchise. It does feel a little different. Now he's got somebody that, you know, is coming behind him, Tom Canavy, that all the guys love. Tom is an unbelievable strength coach, but he's a great guy, too. He's got stories for days. I don't know if you've talked to Tom in the hallways, but if you catch a hello, how are you, Tom? You're there for 20 minutes.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. It's the best. I like that guy can talk about anything. You should have him on the podcast. He
Maybe
can
really
have you on for 3 hours. No problem.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, because Watterson was such a kind of a jokester. He had a little mischievous side to him. Were you ever privy to that? I can see you guys going on adventures.
My rookie year, I had this big plan that I was going to start pranking Watterson. Then Michael Ruse and a couple guys were like, don't do that. Like, you don't want to go down that rabbit hole. I was like, why? Like, what's going on? What are we up to? And so they started telling me stories. And I guess some guy put packing peanuts in Watterson's vehicle. So an equal justified way, he put his car on cinder blocks and stole his tires, which is why would water that? How is that equal out?
It's always a disproportionate response.
Way disproportionate. I guess when Fisher was with the Rams, mm-hmm. and they came and played us preseason, Fisher did something about something about center blocks or something along. I don't know that part, but so Watterson's way to get back at him was he had that when you come out of the stadium, the buses come out of the stadium, you have to put down the guard ramps or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, he had the guard ramps up, and somehow locked them. So, like, the team was stranded there for, like, 3 extra hours.
That's phenomenal.
That's the best because you have, like, 93 guys who obviously just want to fly back home. Like, I think it was, like, the fourth preseason game, so there was about to be some cuts happening.
So, and everyone just wants out of there.
Everyone just wants out. And, like, that's like Steve, great. Like, I'm going to, like, I got you. Like, and, like, I love a good prank. That's so genuinely amazing. Like, well thought out and done. And I just, some of the things he would tell you, you half believe. Like, there's no way he did that. And then you, like, have, like, 3 credited sources be like, no, that absolutely happened.
No, I believe every story I've ever heard. I believe
every
all.
Single story.
Well,
I'm pretty sure
in regards to Watterson,
I'm pretty sure Watterson told me he invented the squat in 1986. I'm like, I don't know if that's right, Watterson. I don't know if that's true or not.
That's fair though. That sounds like something.
And I'm like, I mean that in the most joking way possible. I do not want my car on cinder blocks. I do not want packing peanuts in my car. I do not want to be stranded at the stadium for 3 hours.
Are you like a pranky guy though? I mean, you're a hilarious guy, but in like a pranks kind of way or just a...
I feel like calling me hilarious is extremely relative. It depends who you ask.
Oh, I think you're hilarious.
It could be hilarious or annoying based on who you talk to.
That's fair.
Yeah, I was like pretty pranky in college. Like I'd do my best to like... There was this poor guy named Craig Rowe who I went to high school with who was like... We were in high school together and he went to Michigan. I went to Michigan. And like he did this thing. He was like... Whenever he got frustrated, he was like, Taylor... And then he'd go into whatever it was he was upset about. But, like, I heard that, like, 3 times a day. Like, that's an over-exaggeration at all. So, like, we were roommates. And, Craig was such a well-put-together man. Like a gentleman, almost, at the age of 18. And I was, like, over the top of everything. And so, like Craig would be in the bathroom taking a shower. And it'd be, like, -5 outside in the middle of the wintertime. So I'd steal his towel. And I like rinse it under like the sink and then I put it outside. By the time he took long showers, okay? And I'm not sure why he took long showers, but I'm just saying he took long showers. So by the time he got, this thing was like wood. Like you couldn't like bend this thing. And like Craig would be so mad because in our dorms, like down the hall would be the showers. So like you have to come back down the hall to get like your clothes. And so he would have is the towel. Like we weren't co-ed in that hallway, but like,
that's just mean.
Yeah, I did a bunch of stuff to poor Craig, man. He actually, there's this thing that came out when we played the Cardinals. Like some guy did like a really nice article on me and I really appreciated it, but he was from Arizona. So he interviewed this Craig and then he interviewed my high school coach and they talked about me as a football player, me as a person. And Craig had to mention that I pranked him by spray painting his bike gold one time and that I owe him a bike now.
That's an oddly specific prank. Is there a reason?
I don't know. I think he like got in like a prank war, which like how cheesy is that? A prank war with somebody? And, like, I decided, like, my side was officially chosen the minute I found out that it's going on. So I went with Kovacs, I think it was, Jordan Kovacs, who actually had a little stint with the Dolphins.
Oh.
Yeah.
But his bike is still functional. You don't owe him a bike. It's just golden now.
It was half
Embrace
gold.
It.
Yeah, no. If anything, like, why wouldn't you want a gold bike?
Can I ask you about Taylan a little bit?
That's my favorite subject to talk about.
Aw, that was really sweet of you. Your fiancé, Taylan, you have credited her with a lot of the changes that people kind of have acknowledged in you in the last couple years. What was it specifically about her or your relationship or what impact did she have on you?
All right, that's a lot. That's a lot to take in.
I mean, go wherever you want. You take it away.
Okay, so like my big thing about Taylan is like, I don't know. So like the people I was associating myself with before I met Taylan and then after Taylan, like dramatically changed, not only in the people I was hanging out with, but the number of people I was hanging out with. I went from this guy that was literally quote like friends with everybody. Really, I was acquaintances with everybody, but like was just like a, you know, I was a bar show at the whole, and I was hanging out and like being buddies with everybody and wasn't necessarily, my focuses weren't on what were they were supposed to be. And so I meet Taylan and like, this can be cheesy or not, but like literally the greatest human being I've ever met in my entire life. Like that's like by no stretch of the imagination. Every person I met, Taylan is way over them. She wins. And so I realized when I met her, I actually met her several times.
Okay.
And the first time I met her, I was in Leaper's Fork. My mom worked in Leaper's Fork. And like my mom and her were best friends. Like they hung out together all the time. And then I saw her and I was like, told my mom, I was like, wow, the girl's like super hot. Like, who is this chick? And she was like, oh, it's so-and-so, it's, you know, whatever. And my mom's big joke with Taylan was like, when my son Taylor comes around, do not talk. Because if he does, he's just going to fall in love with you and it's going to be done. And so I met her a couple more times and stuff.
Thanks,
like that.
Thanks, Mom. Good parenting.
Yeah, good job, Mom. Yeah. You slayed it. So I met her a couple more times. And finally, like, one time we actually got an opportunity to talk. And, like, I was, like, nothing I've ever felt before in my entire life. Like, I was, like, wow. I was, like, super, super blown away. And so, like, I realized, like, the person I was and seeing the person that I wanted, those two people didn't match up. So I had to make a dramatic change in myself to, like, meet those goals of being able to have a woman like Taylan. So, you know, like, yeah, maturity came. She is, like, an incredibly good teacher. Like, she does such a great job. When I'm overwhelmed with something, she lays it all on the table. And she says, okay, like, this is what you're worried about. This is what really is the issue. And, like, kind of diagnoses it for me and kind of helps me through those types of things and gives me those tools to, like, you know, maybe not get super rattled about stuff rather than be like, oh, okay, like, I can fix this through this. This is how I, you know, just basic things, basic tools that I just didn't have. And, yeah, I think I would not, I tell her all the time, like, she's like, when I made my first Pro Bowl, she's like, you did it. And I was like, that's, like, ridiculous to say. Like, we did this. Because without her, like, that would have never happened. I would have never been, I would have never been able to. Like, the talent level was there, obviously. But, like, the mental stability, the going week in and week out is, like, such a stressful thing to do in football. And playing these guys that are all pro at one time or all pro right now, Pro Bowler, like, every week there's somebody. There's always that pass rusher that you have to go against that's, you know, oh, this guy's a game changer. He's a game wrecker, whatever you want to call it. To go from week to week and be like, I have to do this again and again and again. And, like, that success you had that Sunday – you got to turn that off as soon as the game is pretty much over. Like, you can't sit on your successes like that. And the same thing goes for when you don't have a good game. And I didn't do a great job of, like, you know, not getting too high, not getting too low, but staying very consistent. And so Taylan, she kept me consistent. And sometimes it drove me nuts. Like, I was like, my God, Taylan, stop. Like, if I did really well, I'd be up. And she would always be like, you know, she would never, like, break me down by any means. But she would be like, all right, bud, like, hey, there's another week. You have to do this again. And when I didn't have a good game, I'm my biggest critic. And that's the never changed. Like, since high school, college, or anything, that's, I'm my biggest critic. So when I would get beat or something would happen, I get Marcus sacked. Like, I take those sacks extremely personally, like, especially because how I feel about Marcus Mariota. Like, I don't just, like he's a teammate, but he's also an amazing person. So it's almost, that's way more personal for me when I do something to wrong him in those situations.
Yeah.
And I would just beat the hell out of myself. And she would, like, you know, pick me up, like, this is, you know, there's 16 games. Like, you can't have those kinds of feelings. So, I mean, this is extremely a long-winded version of telling you how awesome my wife is, but, like, she is. Like, she deserves every bit of credit that I've gotten with either the Titans or national media or in the football world or anything like that. Like, she is, like, she's the, like, that piece. She's that missing piece that I needed.
So you being a two-time Pro Bowler and having all the success you've had and all of this, you attribute to her, not to yourself.
Yeah, I'm, like I said, it took both of us, because yeah. I had to go out there on Sundays. If you put Taylan in the left tackle position, she's going to get rolled over every time, but there's not going to be a chance.
That is true. Yes, she's very.
But
small.
Like, from a physical standpoint, I believe I always had that. I always had the physical abilities, mentally, and, like, I'm still growing. I still have a bunch of stuff that I have to figure out on a day-to-day basis. And she kind of showed me, like, that. Like, every day you have to grow as a person. Like, there's no, you're either growing or you're not. And so, like, there's really no gray area between that. So, like, if you're doing something to better yourself every single day, then, like, you're becoming a better person. And, like, that's, you know, I still have so much work to do. Like, I haven't locked any keys or anything like that. And I know, like, I haven't even reached my full potential of what this whole football thing can be. So, I know it's crazy. I'm extremely lucky. I'm the luckiest guy in the world, for sure.
And you're a new dad, too, so that's got to have some impact on it,
yeah,
too.
That's crazy.
Dadding?
Like, well, yeah. Is that, like, the cliche thing of adulting?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I think that's, like, the ultimate
adulting. I didn't know that was cliche. All right.
I hate nice. Okay, so cool. I do.
I didn't know.
On a less, like, serious moment, I hate the word adulting.
Really?
I think it's so cheesy and stupid.
Oh, gosh, I use it all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah. Well, I'm one of those people, though.
When I go and, like, I go to, like, people like 24, and they're like, oh, my God, adulting. I can't believe Monday's coming up. I'm like, leave me alone. Like, you are not somebody I even want to talk to you anymore. Like, you go to the bars and everyone's like, that's also, like, what I hate about, like, Instagram and stuff like that. You see it on Monday, like, Worldstar and all these people are like, how I feel on Mondays. And it's like a meme of a guy, like, jumping out of a building.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's a little
extreme. It's funny. I got a giggle out of that. But, like, what a horrible way to look at things, you know? What a horrible way to go about it.
Adulting is such a weird thing to be a hot point for you.
Dude, I got little triggers. Like the stupidest things. Like the dumbest things bug me.
Like what else is a trigger for you?
I'm
very aware of my own like vernacular right now and the way that I speak.
No, you're good. You don't have to worry about it. Like if you were to say adulting right now, this podcast would be over. But like other than that, I think we're good. I'm pretty lenient.
Oh, well, that's good. That's solid. I appreciate
that. I don't know. I think adulting, it's crazy how things just go viral. And it's like that yodeling kid right now. Mad respects to the yodel kid, dude.
Really like him. I saw him on Ellen the other day.
Was he actually on Ellen?
He was on Ellen. And
Ellen is an absolute dream.
He's going to be at the Grand Ole Opry because she got him a little performance spot there.
I mean, that's like historical. Yeah. Good job. What's the kid's name?
I don't remember.
See, this is where it would be a great opportunity
for someone to have Google this.
That's perfect.
Please.
Thank you, Ashley.
Thanks, Ashley Farrell. Good Googling.
Google queen over there.
But yeah, I mean, just making dreams come true with a little yodel guy.
I like that. I think Ellen's hilarious. I think like the stuff she does in her show, like I'm on Instagram way too much. Like I'll look through my little explore page mm-hmm. and I'll like catch up stuff. And like I came across this Ellen thing the other day where Ellen was literally just like scaring Taylor Swift. Like I got so much joy out of Taylor Swift getting scared. I have no idea why. Like it was hilarious. Like backstage everywhere.
Name is Mason Ramsey.
Mason Ramsey.
He's the yodeler from, he's from Illinois.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to ask you about being a dad because that's where we started never got back there.
My kid's super rad.
Yeah.
Okay. So Wynn, Rebel, Lawan, for everybody in the South who are wondering, how do you spell it? It's W-Y-N-N-E.
Yeah.
I don't associate my daughter with paper cups, but I do associate her with her mother and they're both super rad. Yeah. She's a super cute kid. She looks just like her mom. Like she won the lottery in that situation because if my daughter... is 6'7", 310 pounds. Like, I'm not worried about prom dates, but...
No, but she could probably get some stuff
done. She's going to be an Olympic athlete, a shot putter, if that's the case. Just slanging it out there, bud. Got some power. She got some power. No, dude, my daughter's awesome. Like, she, came out smiling. Like, absolutely, she cried for a bit. You have to, thank God. But, she's, people say, when babies smile, oh, my God, my baby's smiling. The first 2 weeks, no, it's just gas. And I'm like, okay, well, then my baby had a lot of gas when she was 2 weeks old because she was always smiling. And then, a couple months goes by and, everyone's like, well, you know, it's just gas. Like, she's going to stop smiling. Like, just kept smiling and just, always happy. Like, she paid attention to everything. And, she would watch you and track you throughout the room. And, you know, I'm the classic dad that's like, my kid gets it. Like, your kid doesn't, dude. My kid definitely gets it. Oh, your kid's not tracking things yet? Well, she does
sad.
That. Yeah. Yeah. Mine farted the other day. Did yours? No. It's all pent up. That's probably why she's so mad. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Tracking.
But she's such a rad kid because she's never been an issue. She's at a month, she was sleeping throughout the night. No problems. Always, she's so stoked to see whoever it is. Like, she doesn't have that stranger danger feel, which could become an issue
later.
That's
good. That's safe.
But as of right
now,
of right now, it's unbelievable because she'll go and random people will come up. And she'll do this wave thing now, where the limp wrist is just going up and down as hard as it can. I'm like, you're gonna hurt your wrist, but it's awesome. She's waving, she's smiling all the time. She's got these big, big blue eyes, and she doesn't know how her knees work yet, so she's all stilts.
Oh, nice.
And she climbs up on these things and does this teeter tottery thing where she can't really she's not necessarily walking, obviously, but she's standing up and she's stoked on it. But then she can't get down. So that's a struggle. After 10 minutes, she's I want down. Oh. But doesn't understand, just bend your knees, bud, and you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
But she's awesome. She knows how to kiss now, give kisses. So she's super rad. She's super, the coolest kid. She's, super cool to be around. Every dad who's listening, of the seven, there might be three.
We hope.
We hope. Of all the dads that are listening to this, they know, the first, 6 months, you're sitting there with, your hands out, what do I do? The mom is doing everything, breastfeeding. You can change a diaper once in a while, but other than that, it's what am I doing? You like how you use that diaper?
Yeah.
I saw you catch the diaper. What do you do? What do you do as a dad? You don't know. You're oh my God, we're having so much fun. Let me read this kid the book. Okay, they're not paying attention. You don't really know. You're just trying to be a dad, but you just don't know how that even looks, especially with your first kid, I'm assuming. I hope the second kid's a little smoother for me.
Right.
Mama's slaying it. Dad had a learning curve for sure. And, but right at 6 months, something clicks. They start to notice you. They see you and get excited. Like, they're way more interactive. That's what, like, when, like, the dad comes out, like, mm-hmm. I'm such a cheese ball at home. Like, be home and be like, who's a bunny? What are you doing? Like, I literally, if my buddies came over, I'd be like, oh, hey, guys. Oh, look who's here. Like, I'm like, oh, my God, LaJuan, shut it down, buddy. Like, you need to figure it out a little bit. I go from, like, this wannabe tough guy in the football field, and I come home, and I'm like, who's my bunny? Where are my bunnies at? Like, just, like, so stupid. Like, my wife and I got in an argument the other day because, like, she's got, like, these two bottom teeth. And, like, Taylor, like, since day one, they've called her a bunny. Like, that's what she is. Mm-hmm. And her two front teeth are starting to come in. Like, yes, people who are, like, fact nerds, bunnies have front teeth, too. But I decided to mess with Taylor and be like, oh, she's a little beaver now. She's like a little beaver teeth. And she, like, for some reason was like, no, Taylor, she's a bunny. She's a bunny. And there was, like, probably a, I think we're still in the fight right now. Right. I'm not sure what's going on, but, like, just yeah, we're all about the beaver bunny moves. But, like, she's definitely a bunny.
Huh. How did you land on bunny? It just came out?
It was what it was, man. I'd love to go into that story, but I've already, emasculated myself enough. Like,
it's not emasculating. It's being a dad. I assume this is what parenting looks like.
We got tagged in a photo on Twitter, too.
We did?
Not we.
Oh.
Me and Jack and Ben. And it's hilarious.
Huh.
It's National Pet Day.
Well, are they your pets? Like, how are those two things related?
Okay, Steve's in there, Officer Cornwallis, that's Jack's owl, and then the coyote that Ben took down is in it, too.
Okay.
But, like, they asked me, like, hey, take a picture with Steve for National Pet Day. I was like, Steve's not a pet, he's a friend.
Oh.
Right, first and foremost, okay? Yeah. I don't make Steve do anything.
Right.
He does what he wants.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry, I got off topic there.
No, that's okay. What owl are you referring to?
Officer Cornwallis.
I'm not familiar. Well, we're not friends.
So Jack saw my beaver one time, and Jack's like, I want like an owl or something. I was like, that's a little off from a beaver, but yeah, sure, Jack. Absolutely. And so for his birthday's in August during camp. So as a joint gift, me and my beaver got him Officer Cornwallis.
Oh, that's sweet.
You okay?
Yeah.
You all right? Why are we laughing?
We're not. It's not funny.
Are you laughing at my beaver right now?
No.
You're actually crying. No, you sad? You okay? You okay?
Such a touching gift.
It was. Officer Cornwallis. So, like, he's either on duty or off duty. That's our stupid O-line joke. Because he has a police officer, like an old English police officer's hat.
Yeah.
And he wears it.
Where do you find
when he's on duty. And he doesn't wear it when he's off duty.
Where do you find that? Where do you find the hats and outfits for these
creatures?
All right,
so here's the plug, and hopefully, like, I think her name is Gigi. She hears this, so I can get a free hat out of this. But
yeah.
So there's this place called Hatworks on 8th Avenue. If you guys haven't been there, it's awesome.
Okay.
Gigi will yell at you. I think it's Gigi. I'm really hoping it's Gigi. If you hold the hats a certain way at Hatworks, you will get yelled at, so buyer beware.
Oh.
I went in there one time. This is the whole beaver story. I'm just going to go over it because it's one of my favorite stories.
Do it.
So I go in there a couple years ago, and I see this beaver, and it's just a beautifully done taxidermy beaver. To me, it's hilarious because there's a hat on it, and I think that stupid stuff is so funny to me. So I said, Gigi, I went in there like 3-4 times. I was like, I need this beaver. I need it. I don't want it anymore. I need it. I'll give you $200 for this beaver. And she's like, no, it's not for sale. I think I got up to like $1,000 for this beaver. Like, I got so obsessed with it. That's what I spend my money on, by the way, if anybody's wondering. Like, stupid things. Like, taxidermy beavers. So I meet my wife-to-be, and she's like, well, my birthday was coming up. She's like, what do you want for your birthday? I was like, I want a taxidermy beaver. That's what I want. And she was like going
sure.
over things. And I made a crucial error. Looking back on it, I don't regret it because I got Steve out of it. But there was a beaver with like the rock on his fingers. Like, his fingers were molded. Not molded, like... I guess move.
Like they were put in that.
Like that. Okay. Like the rock on.
Yeah.
Like, because people can't see me right now. So this is stupid. No,
but
holding my hands up like this. But like, there was in the rock on, I guess, before like he like was like stiff. I don't know. What's that called? When people, dead bodies go stiff.
I don't know.
So anyway, this beaver was taxidermied like that. And I was like, that's pretty funny, but it could be funnier. Looking back on it, that's hilarious. That should have been, but I'm happy I got Steve anyway. I was like, I can't see the beaver, otherwise it wouldn't be a present. It would just be like, we're buying this together.
Yeah.
So my birthday comes up, July 22nd, if anybody's going to get me a gift. And we go to this place. I don't remember what it's called, but it's also on 8th Avenue. And Taylor throws me a surprise party. So, like, Brian Schwenke's there. I'm pretty sure Ben Jones is there. A couple other guys there. Delaney's there. Like, a couple other friends I have in Nashville. They're there. And there's a rectangle box standing up with, like, wrapped in wrapping paper. And, like, two feelings come over me. Like, one feeling is, like, so stoked because I know there's a taxidermy beaver in there. And the other part is, like, okay, all my friends are here and I don't understand, like, the backstory of this taxidermy beaver. The only person that really understands it is Talon. So, like, the presents come out. I'm, like, this weird, awkward, like, excited but also kind of weirded out, nervous. So I decide, you know what? I'm just going to be excited about it. I'm stoked. And so she brings over the present, and I'm like, ooh, like my stupid cheesy, ooh, I wonder what this could be, you know? Like, and I unwrap it, and I open it up, and it's a beaver with, like, his webbed feet, like, are wedged into, like, a little, like, kid-style, like, Vans, because, like, all I wear are Vans. He's got a cigarette in his hand, Ray-Ban glasses, and the same hat at Hatworks that other beaver was wearing. And I was, like, so, like that freeze frame, jump in the air, fist in the air, like, kind of feeling. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome, babe. Thank you so much. I love you. And everyone's like, like, great, Taylor. Like, your big gift was a beaver. like what? And so I had to go over this entire story again with them. But I'm really stoked I have Steve. Like, he's so funny. And, like, when the rookies get into town, we, like, go, like, I won't even do it. Like, I'll come into the building whenever I come in the building, and, like, Steve will be, like, at the chair, like, and on the table with, like, cards in his hand and, like, a couple aces up his hat. Sometimes, like, in the middle of the day, I'll go, and before practice, I'll walk and I'll put the beaver in front of, like, a rookie, like I did to Jayon Brown last year. And Jayon Brown was so rattled, like, did not understand why this beaver was in front of him. He's like, dog, what, like, why is this beaver here? And, like, Avery Williamson's like, bro, you got chose today. And he's like, what do you mean? What does that mean? Like, what's going on? And Avery's like, you'll find out. And, like, so the whole day at practice, like, I felt Jayon watching me. Like, I was going to get him. Like, I'm just going to get you because a beaver was in front of you, bud? Like, I don't understand. So, it's so stupid. We are so dumb.
Well,
but it's so funny.
You brought it on the road. Was that for playoff games or was that to Phoenix?
It was to Phoenix.
Yeah.
No,
really
we
freaked
went
me out.
Steve will never make an appearance again on the buses, like, to the West Coast.
It was jarring for me. I'll be honest, I'm afraid of the beaver. Like, really, truly frightened of it. I'm just really...
I don't, like, what about it scares you? Is this I'm scared of it. Like, are you actually, like, afraid of this beaver?
It really makes me uncomfortable.
So why does it make you so
It's like a it's a taxidermied animal thing.
I totally forgot to tell the best part about Steve, the taxidermied beaver. Like, this dude is the done taxidermied beaver you'll ever see in your entire life. Like, if you feel his stomach and you do, like, the... that, like, finger thing, like, pinky to yeah. index. I'm trying to explain it to people that are listening. I sound like an idiot.
No.
But, like, I'm like, you know, you do that. Like, it literally is, like, paper mache on his stomach. Like, I swear to God, it was, like, a seventh grader's art project.
You're just like,
and he was
stuff,
just like, yeah,
stuff.
I'm going to make this. Yeah, here we go. And the beaver, like, the tail, I swear to God, it's, like, a horribly, like, a balloon on it for his tail. It's horrible. It's just horrible. I'll put more pictures out there of Steve.
I don't think I know. I don't think I would know a good taxidermy job for a bad one, but I know that I don't want to touch it.
Let me tell you something. You've been in the industry as long as I have.
Have you? Do you have any other taxidermied animals?
I do.
You really do?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So Talon's next birthday, fast forward to the next year, which was this past year, July 22nd, if anybody forgot. Talon's like, what do you want for your birthday? I was like, I want a taxidermy bear with a hat and maybe some boxing gloves. So I think that's super funny. I don't know why taxidermy creatures are so funny to me. I don't get it. Talon's like, she's given me these gifts that are, like, kind of against everything she believes in. Like, she went to La Paz to mm-hmm. film a documentary on animal trafficking at La Senda Verde, this animal refugee.
And you're, like, the number one client.
Days. Well, I'm not, they're already dead. Okay. Like, they're done. Like, you're like, I get to reap the benefits, I guess. But, like, I totally support Talon and everything she wants to do. But, like, she filmed this documentary, and, like, there's a trailer out now. If anybody wants to go check it out, I will make sure and put it up when this podcast comes out. But, like, she did an incredible job. Like, she went down with a crew that no one has any experience. Like, they're all in school still. And they go down, and the documentary is based on her. She's the hostess with the mostest. And she goes down the world's deadliest road on a bicycle. Like, she goes to La Senda Verde. There's no cell phone, like, reception at all. So, like, I'm in camp wondering what the hell my fiance is doing. I'm super nervous about it. Mm-hmm. But she like takes a monkey for 20 days that's in like at this refugee and like becomes like best friends with it. She ends up crying when the monkeys like when she's leaving, like both of them cry together. Like monkeys don't cry, their eyes just welt up. So like it was really an emotional time for both of them. I wasn't there, so I can't really speak on it. But so I tell her for my birthday I want a taxidermy bear.
Like grizzly?
Grizzly, black, Kodak, I don't Kodak black, I don't know. So I asked for this taxidermy bear and she's like, okay. Like she comes back to me like a week later. She's like, look, I know it's funny to you, but these taxidermy bears are like $5,000.
Wrap
I'm
it
like,
up.
I'm like, okay, like what's your question? Like this is hilarious. Anything worth a laugh is priceless to me. I don't care. And she, so she makes the judgment call, which I'm really happy she did. I'm not getting the bear for Taylor. This is insane. So instead, for Christmas, it was my birthday. It might have been Christmas. Well, for the sake of argument, we'll say birthday. I like thank God it wasn't another surprise party. But like, I get this little box. I'm like, I actually was like, oh, what is this going to be? And I pull out this taxidermied squirrel. Okay, so the squirrel has a cowboy hat on it with like a little gunslinger belt, like an old Western gunslinger belt and a pistol in its little hand. And it's like it's about to shoot you. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so funny. Like, it's like hilarious. It's sitting, I wanted to bring it in, but I'd be like, this would be too overboard. I'm just bringing in taxidermy animals to the facility now. Like, I'm going to get fired.
Right.
So I just leave it at the house. It's on a shelf. I haven't named him, but God, it's so funny. It's like, makes you smile every time I think about him. I got to be honest. It's so funny. Like, what's he robbing? Like, acorns? Say, like, is he taking other people's acorns? I don't know. It's so dumb. God, I'm an elementary school student.
It's really funny, though.
It is funny. I think it's so funny.
Man, it's a good thing that I made these notes here so that we didn't get on some weird tangent. That would really be...
What is the point of podcasting? Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Sorry, was I close enough to the microphone? How did this whole podcast thing come about?
Let me tell you, Taylor, because you're asking this question because you know the answer.
I know the answer, but I want...
But I'll tell everybody the answer. We had a radio show at the Logan's Roadhouse. And we had so much fun. And so I was inspired because it felt so constricting. We just get on a roll and then we had to take a commercial break.
Well, yeah, you have to take a break and then like you can't really say what you want.
There were so many things that I felt we left on the table.
Right.
And so... You were the first person that I talked to about this endeavor.
Yeah.
We used to sit after the show and eat and have a couple beers and just unload. So the idea of a podcast came up and it was, well, Taylor needs to be a part of this. This would be the perfect outlet for all of these things. Where else in the world can you talk about all of your taxidermied animals and how much you love your fiance?
And the answer to that is Ellen.
Okay.
I could probably talk about that on Ellen.
You probably could talk about that on Ellen, but I don't have access to Ellen, and I wanted to be a part
of
it.
Ellen, I don't know if you're one of the seven people listening to this, but we are willing to come on. We're willing.
But it felt like the perfect avenue to go down. And now look at us.
Yeah, I'm definitely here against my will. But
no, you're not!
Dude, how long did it take?
It took a really long time. It was a lot of work.
Yeah.
But wasn't it kind of worth it?
I mean, we're not done with the show yet, so we'll see.
There's still time.
I can't like say whether or not it was a success until it's all over, right?
All right, well, yeah, we'll circle
back. No, to be honest with you, like this is a great show. Like this is hilarious. I love the setup. If you have a suggestion box, I'm willing to put a couple notes in it. Number one, I would put two more microphones for the other people that are in the building,
right?
So that they could talk also,
right?
And then so they can get a little credit when credit is due. Not saying you have to be a mic hog, but I'm saying like it'd be maybe if we want to get something out in the air. Oh, man. How many people do listen to this thing? Because this is going to come out and everyone's going to be like, okay, like, Luan's just a weird bird.
See, I don't think so.
I really do.
Okay.
I'm okay with it, though, because I know what I am.
Yeah.
I'm a weird bird.
Yeah.
A couple thousand?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But you do a lot of other media things. I mean, you do things on the radio. You do interviews with people. You speak at your locker every week. Like, people have a pretty good idea.
I'm, like, contractually obligated to speak at my locker every week.
I know.
Yeah.
But still, I mean... You are one of the most recognizable faces of this team. So it's not like people aren't kind of aware of your personality anyway.
I guess that's fair. Thank you for the compliment. Yeah, I don't tweet very often. I guess I tweet a decent amount. But some guys are out there tweeting every day, every second, really.
Yeah, some like people KB, really get into
KB it. KB is on the social media right now.
Yeah.
That guy's like on a tour.
Well, he had his thing. He had his moment. With the Deion Sanders thing. And so now he's a social media star right now.
Yeah, he's kind of killing it. How ridiculous is that, by the way?
It was
like Deion's not going to remember, not remember. Like he didn't even know who one of the best safeties in the league is.
Right.
Seems a little bit not being very good at your job-ish.
Well, it was just such a strange thing to happen, and then it exploded. It went from like, oh, wasn't this a weird exchange, to national media is talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple things coming there. Yeah, it's totally worth national media, but also there's nothing going on right now.
Right.
You know, except for the Masters this past weekend. And, like, basketball's, like, winding down, right?
Yeah.
But it's not in the playoffs yet.
Did you watch the Masters?
Ah, no. Dude, I can't golf. I can't swing it. My ADD's too strong. I get out there, and I swing her a couple times, and I get stoked when the ball goes in the air. Like, I get fired up like you haven't seen. But sometimes most of them just top the ball.
Yeah.
And everyone's big excuse to me is, like, well, you just need bigger clubs. That's not what it is, bud. I'm just bad at this game. Like, come on. But we both know, like, I'm not Tiger out there, yeah. You know? I'm not, what, like, early 2000s Tiger? Was that when he was in his peaking? Was he peaking then?
He was pretty good then, yeah.
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 And by no means am I that guy.
Right. But, like, Ben Jones went, and I know a bunch of guys.
Ben and Suckup, Kearney. Mm-hmm. Who else went? I think Tanny was supposed to go, but he didn't end up going. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, so one of my buddies I went to high school with, he's like, a golf agent. And, he's one of my best friends, too. Rob Muji, if anybody's wondering. His name is Robert Muji. Great guy, awesome person, beautiful teeth.
It's got to be a good job, too.
Yeah.
Shoot.
And so he goes to the Masters. Like, we were in Cabo about a month ago, and we're flying back, licking our wounds. And I'm like, what's, like, the Super Bowl for you guys? He's like, it's the Masters, no problem. And, like, the things he was telling me about the Masters is, like, unreal. How, like, what's this thing? What's it called? Where is it at?
Augusta, Georgia.
Thank you. See if you had a microphone here just a second. So Augusta, like, I guess the prices of everything, like, you want a beer, you want a burger, you want a hot dog, anything, all that stuff is the same price as it was when it first opened.
Oh, that's
cool. So you can get, like,
cool.
Everything for, like, $7. I know. It's pretty rad.
Yeah.
It's, like, right up your alley, too. Like, you love that. I know you love that. Best part about Logan's Roadhouse for you was the free food.
Oh, my gosh.
You're all about
Far and away. I mean, the show was fine. The bacon cheese fries.
Dude, the show was pickles on a sandwich, dude. Take them or leave them. You know what I'm saying?
No, I want them. Like, I want those too.
I want the pickles. Take the pickles.
I
So he's telling me all these, like, the grass is perfectly done. You'll never see a blade of grass out of the way. If, like, I took this water bottle and I threw it on the ground, like, within 5 minutes, it'd be picked up.
Whoa.
It's like, it's
out
of hand.
Disney World.
There's a bunch of other things he was telling me, but I was tired. So there's not a lot I picked up on.
Right.
But it was, it's just cool to hear about, like, different sports traditions like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. Do you have, like, a thing that you're planning in the event that you win the Super Bowl? We're going to do this. Are you going to go to Disney World?
Probably not.
That's what they say.
No, I think Marcos will be the one saying that. Well, no one's going to be like, Taylor, you're just a left tackle. Like, you won the Super Bowl.
Well,
what are you going to do?
Well, it's always
like, I'm probably going to hang out with my daughter tonight. Let's go. I'm saying, like, what? I don't know. I really don't. I really have no idea. How I would even handle that situation. Like, I can't say that I haven't, like, dreamed of it, because I totally have, but it's hard to say. It's hard to say what I would actually do. Like, if I could sit here and I could come up with a bunch of stuff that I'd actually do, like, yeah, it's great, but I don't know what I would actually do. I would freak out. I'd have an absolute freak out sesh, dude. That'd be awesome. And it'd be so cool, especially because a city like this. Like, dude, people don't really understand how cool Nashville is.
I agree with that.
I think, like, I talked to some people when I first got here. They're like, I was like, dude, this city's pretty rad. And they're like, yeah, dude, if you love Nashville, you should go to Austin. It's Nashville on steroids. So I was like, cool. I'll make a plan to do that one day. Well, I had to go to a bachelor party in Austin about a year and a half ago. And I get there, and I'm like, this place sucks compared to Nashville. No offense, people from Austin, but, like, you can't compare the two. Like Nashville's way cooler than Austin.
I agree with that.
Way cooler.
Mm-hmm. There's just so much going on here. Always.
Dude, so many cranes.
So many cranes.
So many cranes out
here.
Yeah,
and if that's how you judge a city.
Something is being built every day. Like, I'll leave. The only thing, the big knock on Nashville for me, I have a couple, but the two I will just talk about right now is, if you need anything to get done in a timely fashion, sorry, bud, that will not happen. Like, you have, like, if someone's like, hey, this will get done in a week, like, I'll see you in a month. In my head, I make a little mental note.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to get upset when that week's up. Don't know why. Like, I know what's going to happen, yet I still get mad. And then also the traffic's awful.
Yeah.
It's getting worse and worse. And especially because I go, like, I'll leave the city as soon as the season's over, and I'll be in Arizona for that part until we come to OTAs. And I'll come back, and it's just awful. Like, it's just the traffic actually gets worse. It's noticeably worse every year. And so I don't know how you fix it, though, because whoever, like, whatever guru, highway architect guru made this system really foobarred the whole thing.
Well, the thing is, this city grew up so quickly. That's, I mean, it's this is year five for me, and it has changed dramatically in the 5 years that I've been here.
Did you get here in 14?
I got here in 13.
Well, this is year five for me, too, so how's that work?
Well, it's football year five. This is calendar year five, football year six. You doing seasons or calendars?
I always do seasons. My life, I don't
see, that's how I do it, too.
January is at the start of the year for me. August is.
Yeah, I do football seasons.
Yeah.
So it's year six for me.
Well, you technically do calendar seasons, right?
Well, I did because there are people who are not football people who are listening to this. So I want to make sure that I speak in their language as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you saying you're better than those people?
No, I'm saying that.
You think you're Harry Potter and they're muggles?
I do always think I'm Harry Potter and they're muggles. But that's a whole different thing. No, you have to use both. Anyway, I've been here for 5 years. A lot of things have changed.
Five or six. Depends who you ask.
Five calendar years, six football years.
All right.
Or I'm starting my sixth football year. You've really been here for 5 years.
Yeah, I'm going to my fifth year right now.
Holy smokes.
Mind-blowing, dude. Absolutely mind-blowing. People are like, oh, you're a vet now. Like, no. Not really. Like, no. I'm just like still a rookie who's been around hanging around here for 5 years.
I still kind of feel like you're brand new. I don't know why I feel this because you and I have basically been here the same amount of time.
Keep it fresh, man.
But, man.
I know.
How did this happen? Now you're like all grown up with a kid.
I know. The coolest kid.
Yeah.
My kid's better than all of your kids for anybody who's listening.
Adulting happened.
Stop.
That was pretty good though, wasn't it?
Called parenting.
Bring it all the way around.
That's good.
Thank you. I kind of want to ask you about Marcos.
Go ahead.
And why you love him so much. Because your love is like, your guys' relationship is not just like offensive linemen and quarterback.
You're making it weird.
No, I don't feel like it's weird. I just feel like you guys are genuinely friends. You genuinely care about each other.
I don't know if we're friends for sure. Like, I just think, like, in football, a lot of times, most of the time, I won't say all the time because you don't have to be put in that box, but most of the time, like, people put on a facade or act a certain way. And Marcos is one of the most genuine human beings I've ever played with. And I think that to me is very admirable. And he's not only, you can be genuine and be an but he's genuinely a good person. And so, like, I don't know, he just seems like a guy that not only is extremely talented and has no reason to be humble, but is extremely humble in everything that he does. So for me, I don't know why I have this protective nature over him like I do. I'm not sure why people tend to blow it up a little bit more than it actually is, but I just think that, you know, I'd do this for any quarterback. Don't get me wrong, but like something about Marcos, like, and I'm not saying we don't hang out very much. You know what I'm saying? But like, but I just think he's a really good dude. I think he's a really, really good guy, and I take my job very personally. I take it very, very seriously, and that's, you know, all the jokes aside of everything, that's like, you know, you only get to do this for so long.
Right.
Like, how long can you actually last? You know, eventually I'm going to be, like, called an old person here, and it's going to be crazy.
It's coming up.
No, it's not. Not for at least another 5 years before people are like, he's getting old, you know?
Yes.
So I just take full advantage of, like, every opportunity that I have. And, like, with a guy like that, like, he makes you want to, like, block for him and run through a wall and make sure this team is successful. And I love that when we win games, like, he is the guy they show because he's such a great guy. And so he deserves all the credit. Do you get paid extra to do this?
No.
This is just something you want to do as well?
This is just something I wanted to do to give back to the Titans community.
Wow.
But also, I mean, I'm in the building, so
yeah, you're all I'm on the you're clock. Like a modern day Batman.
I am kind
of Batwoman.
Yeah,
Catwoman.
No,
I think that's like the spinoff of Batman for women.
I didn't really like Catwoman.
I don't know anything about Catwoman.
Huh. That's a shame.
But if you could be a superhero, who would you be?
I kind of like Batman. Do I have to be a girl? I don't want to be.
No, you don't. It's 2018.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You can be whatever you want now.
I think I'd want to be Batman because he has all those tools.
That's it?
Yeah, he has so many cool things. He's so smart.
Let's put this to bed. All right?
Please.
Batman is nothing more than extremely well I guess I didn't even say that right. Batman is nothing more than a person that's really good at karate that has cool gadgets.
Okay. Okay. What's wrong with that?
Well, Superman is invincible except for a rock.
Well, okay.
That can, like,
but
slow him down a little bit.
But that rock has gotten him a lot of time.
It has. It
He's
has.
Had a lot of problems with that
the
rock.
The thing is, it's like, just go away from the rock. You know what I'm saying? Like, just move. Like, oh, there's a rock. I'm going to go over here now.
But he doesn't. He never does. So where's the common sense in that? Batman, so much common sense.
Lots of common sense.
Yeah.
Well, really, if you're a billionaire, what's the common sense of being a vigilante?
I'm just saying, he's very smart.
Yeah, extremely. He's a billionaire. Mm-hmm. You got to be smart to get that kind of bills, buddy.
There you go. See? That's what I'm. That's what I aspire to.
Be a billionaire or be a superhero?
No, to be smart.
Because now you kind of just sound like that person that wants cash.
No!
You're looking for that money?
No!
Stacking that paper.
Oh, gosh.
I think Batman...
If only.
I think Batman is, like, if we're talking about real life, mm-hmm. sure, yeah, I'd be Batman. That'd be awesome. I wouldn't talk like this. This is not Batman. I'm Batman. Like, what's in... Like, just cough once. You're going to be all right. Sorry about that.
Well, but that's the
Batman
thing.
Batman here. Hope everyone's doing well.
Once he clears his throat, he's like, I'm Batman.
Yeah,
then
exactly.
You have a problem.
Oh, why don't you... Get whatever that was in your throat again, bud. Like, that was a little
weird. You just go with it at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, how is it every single time he gets something caught in his throat every time that suit comes on? Like, how
lucky.
Ironic.
Maybe it just squeezes a little too much.
Maybe it does.
Yeah.
I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Stupid. But, like, I wouldn't, like, if this is real world, I'd be Batman for sure. Like, have all those cool gadgets, be a billionaire. But if, like, we're not talking about real world, why wouldn't you want to fly? Like, oh, I'll take the private jet instead. Guess what? All Superman has to do is just charge a little bit of cash for his efforts. Guess what? Who's the billionaire now?
Nah.
Superman. Oh, I don't need the jet. I'll just fly over there. Or the Flash. I'll just run and not be winded.
Oh, see, that's exhausting. I will not do that. I would never be a running superhero. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Not interested.
Guy, like, from Incredibles that's like on the ice.
Oh, I'd do that. Yeah.
Cool. There you go.
So you're going Superman? That's your...
I don't know what I'd be. I'm just saying the Batman idea is dumb. Because I don't think my answer would probably be dumb too, but like everyone who's like, oh, I totally take Batman over Superman, I'd be like, you're an idiot.
He gets the car.
Just because
you're
Batman.
He gets the suit.
He
gets the
Batman,
cave. He gets a built-in sidekick.
That's great.
That's great.
That's great. But like Superman can get all those things too if he just went about business a little bit differently. Like, okay, hey,
so
I'm not going to be a news reporter, guys. Instead, I'm just going to charge a little bit of money for being a superhero. Hey, I saved your kid. Give me $100,000. Okay. Hey, this building's falling down. I'll save the CEO. Give me $1 million.
See,
done.
This is starting to sound like some shady business
dealings, though.
But
if you want to be a, like, you, part of one of the points you mentioned was you want to be a billionaire. Batman can easily be a
billionaire.
That
is not a point that
he
I made. You made that point.
A certain set of skills. A certain set of skills that no one else has that would literally, like, people would pay you to do. And so, like, his choice is to be a reporter. Like, bud.
Well, but here's,
like, you got half of it right. Superhero is that half you got right. Other reporter, I don't know what's going on. Like, why did you choose to do that?
You get 6 months into this thing, and you've got sponsors all over your suit, and that's really tacky, and you've got a list of things
that you will or won't do.
You're flying to Walmart to get people stuff.
Wearing a rubber suit, fighting crime in a rubber suit all day is going to be tacky regardless
this
whether you put on
slow
it.
Down
I don't care if it's a
way.
Fig Newtons thing across my chest. If it makes you a little paper, I'm not saying I would do it. I'm saying, like, if you wanted to match up with Batman, like, I'm Batman. Okay, well, I'm Superman. And I also have a plane because I charged the Fig Newtons for this.
You know?
No. Save a cat in a tree, have a Fig
Newton.
I
think you're a little, you're selling out just a little bit.
I'm not Batman or Superman. I'm not selling out anything. I'm just saying this is the way to go about
it. This is just a faulty business plan.
Yeah, that's
in
the
mind.
Easiest way to get away with anything. I was like, I wouldn't do this, but here's a way to do it.
How I would do it.
Yeah, this is how somebody could do it.
Oh, my goodness.
So you'd be Batman of all the superheroes you could be.
I would be Batman.
What was the question you were going to ask me about the offensive line? Sorry, I got off track there.
Oh, the fact that you guys are genuinely friends, you actually do things together. It seems like you enjoy hanging out with each other and doing things together.
Sure.
That's got to be rare for a locker room, right? I mean, you all just kind of fell into this place and magically you're good friends.
Yeah, I think it worked out. We have a lot of different personalities, which could go two ways. It could go really, really bad or really, really good. And I think in this situation, it's gone really, really good. You know, you got the Southern boy, Ben, who's like, he's just a funny guy. Jack's from the Midwest. Dennis is from the Midwest. Spain's from West Virginia, of all places. Josh is from Ohio, and I'm from Arizona. It's like we're kind of like all over the place. And then put us into one spot, and like somehow we just click. It just works out. And so it's fun to play next to guys you care about. I think that's a really cool thing with this team is, like, I care about all these guys. Like, obviously there's guys I like more than other guys because that's just how it works in the business world when you're right. on a team. Like, I'm not going to sit here and lie and be like, yeah, everybody's the best. Like, no, like, I do love these guys. Some guys I would hang out with a little bit more than others. But needless to say, that the O-line, I think that camaraderie, that group, that chemistry we got, it's done really well for us in the last couple of years. And obviously, like, there's so many things to grow on and do better. I just think that we've been doing – the sky's the limit for us. We could really thrive in this offense that we're putting together right now. And, you know, kind of that cliche line when you're an offensive line coach talking to an O-line saying, you know, it starts and ends with us. It kind of – it really, really does. Like, if we can't protect, the receivers aren't going to get the ball. And if we can't block, those running backs aren't going to get yards. So it does start and end with us. And I think these guys take their job very seriously.
One of the things that I get asked about the most is when we are going to do something together again.
I think, you know what, the thing about the radio show was really fun. Like, I had a good time. Like, there were definitely times I was driving and I was like, God, I do not want to do this week. I'd much rather go home and do nothing.
Yes.
But, if you guys ever want me on the show again, this is fun. So I would absolutely do this again. But as far as having my own show, it's probably not going to happen because during the season, especially during the season, I'm just locked in now.
Right.
I had so many other things to focus on than telling bad jokes for an hour.
But you're really good at telling bad jokes.
Thank you.
But it really is fun to have you here, and we now have on tape that you are planning on coming back.
Huh. I said I would come back. I'm not planning.
No, it sounded like you were planning on it. That sounded really set in stone. So we'll follow up with you later.
Sounds good.
Wow.
How do you feel, Mike?
That was a ride. I feel like I just got off the roller coaster at whatever theme park you want to name.
Oh, absolutely. We covered it all.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, that was great.
So fun.
And thanks to Taylor Lewan for doing it. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Next week, back to Hardcore Football. We're going to sit down and we're going to break down how this draft is going to play out in terms of what we think different teams are going to do and how it may affect the Titans. That's on the OTP next week. For Jeff Harding and Ashley Farrell, Amy Wells, good job.
Thank you.
Well done.
Well.
My name is Mike Keith. Thanks so much for listening to the OTP.